Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by John Regan, CEO of Electric Guitar. Welcome back, John.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, you?
I'm all right, thank you very much. A bit colder than last time I spoke to you, I think, because I'm in the UK.
Absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, we just saw the news that the company has appointed Jeremy Soule as managing director of the primary subsidiary 3 Radical. Jeremy brings extensive experience from his various leadership positions at Data Locator Group Limited, working with clients such as Salesforce, Jaguar and Visa. His 24 years of marketing expertise will be crucial in converting 3 Radical's pipeline into new business. Jeremy's appointment coincides with the upcoming departure of Rebecca Travella, Commercial Director of 3 Radical, in July. He will work closely with Rebecca until her exit to ensure a smooth transition. Additionally, Richard Horwood, COO, has been appointed as Company Secretary following Ben Lister's resignation last month. So it looks like you're lining up the board there, John.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what we're doing is getting the right team in place to do what we really do need to do. I mean, if you recall, the purpose behind Electric Guitar, we're capitalising on this big shift that's happening in digital advertising. People are switching from third-party data, from third-party cookies to first-party data, and that's the gap. There is limited expertise in that area. And 3 Radical, it's our first acquisition, it's our launchpad, if you like. It's a multinational company, which is quite unique for a company of that size because it's relatively small, but they've got feet on the ground in Singapore for APAC. They've also got relationships in the US and, of course, over in the UK as well. Now, our opportunity there is to take that business from a business which has been a fantastic developer of software. They've developed this great software, but now they really do need to focus on sales. And so those shifts, they're bringing in Jeremy, who I've known for a very long time, actually. Bringing in Jeremy is one of those steps towards really focusing them on really capitalizing on what they've built now, building a really strong sales pipeline, bringing that revenue in. Because I think I said to you in the last interview, this is a land grab year for first-party data companies, because this is when the shift is happening. We need to get there really quickly. So that's what Jeremy's here to do.
Very good, John. We saw also previous RNSs last week, I think, that there's been some other movement in terms of the board of Electric Guitar. So tell us a little bit about that and how that's going to play out.
Yes. So Ben Lister, who's our financial controller, left the business, and we announced that on the 20th of May. And we brought in a lady called Lauren Keller. And again, we brought her in because she has got AIM experience. She's also worked recently with WPP, so one of the large communication groups. She was involved in an AIM listing as well. So again, this is all about bringing the right team into the business to do what we're going to do next. We've gone through this stage where we were a SPAC, and that required a particular set of skills and, quite frankly, quite a lot of patience as well. But now we're in a situation where we're a trading multinational business, but also we're on that buy and build trail. So we've got we've got this pipeline of acquisitions coming up. So we really need the experience that she's got to help us with those fundraisers and those acquisitions, as well as the complication of running multinational businesses, dealing with FX, dealing with different regulatory environments, and all of those things. So that's why we brought Lauren in to do that job. So with the two of them, with Jeremy repurposing that business on sales, and Lauren from the financial point of view repurposing us as a business which is trading but also acquiring, those are two really great steps. I mean, again, I think I mentioned to you before, Richard is an M&A specialist. He's worked in the public markets for a number of years. He was head of M&A at Smith Yucult about 20 years ago. So again, with him, with his M&A experience from a technical and legal viewpoint, and Becca from a financial viewpoint, I'm really happy that, I've got this vision that we need to deliver, but you need the people with the right expertise to do it. So those are the ones that we're putting in place right now.
Very good. And just give people an overview, like your elevator pitch in terms of what 3 Radical is going to be doing in the marketplace. Because I think this is, as you say, a very big opportunity right now because of different things that are happening in terms of data.
Yeah. Well, the elevator pitch is this. In the past, if you were a marketer, you could very cheaply and very easily access a big audience online using third-party cookies. It was less than a penny a person to place those annoying adverts in your browser. And that's the bit that's changing, because as third-party cookies go away, that data will go away. So now the trick is when people come to your website, you need to engage them and keep them and encourage them to come back. You can't just replace them with a cheap advertising campaign. You need to engage them and keep them coming back. What Three Radical do is they provide the technology that helps you engage people in some form of dialogue on the website and just draws you in and gets you to provide little bits of information like your email address, the sort of thing that you're looking for on the website, so that then the website owner, the big advertising brands, understand a bit about these people, which means they can then communicate back to them in a relevant way and tailor their services to fit them, so that the next time that person is thinking of buying whatever product they're selling, they think, well, I had a great experience with supplier X because they understood me and they took the time to know me. So that's where I'm going to go back to this time. And sure enough, when they go back, the website will recognize them and give them the same great experience all over again. So that's the shift. Whereas, in the past, what would have happened is the website provider would not have bothered to do that because it was cheaper to just target them again, for less than a penny. Now you can't do that. So there's the shift. Three Radical are the tip of the spear in that. Their technology presents little things, games or quizzes or questionnaires, that sort of stuff that makes you just stay a bit longer on the website, give up a bit more information, and create the beginning of that relationship.
And Three Radical have some pretty big multinational finance companies that they're servicing, I presume.
They've
I
got
think
some.
I think one that doesn't require a Visa card.
Yes, that's the one that we can't mention them by name, but they're a payment services provider and they don't provide Visa cards, no. And Three Radical work with them across the whole of APAC. We're looking to expand that relationship to more broadly than APAC as well. And that's a relationship that's now been established for just over 2 years, I believe. I met them just after we acquired the business, and I'm actually going back there for other meetings with those guys later on this month. So that's a really interesting relationship. They also work with some big American brands as well. There's one we can mention called Kayser-Roth. If you're not in the States, they're a big clothing brand. They own about four or five brands, and Three Radical, they work across four or five of their websites in different languages to create those experiences that I described. People you may know if you're based in the UK are people like the NSPCC and Jewson. So it's all big advertising brands that they're helping in this marketplace. But it's, they're a brilliant business and they've got a certain number of clients, but the real opportunity there is to really turbocharge this. We can get a lot more because it's such a simple, straightforward sale and a real requirement that people have. If you look at surveys, if you're a chief marketing officer, you're receiving these surveys all the time. What's your big worry this year? What are you focused on? Well, if you look at those surveys, what they're saying is just over 60% of them say that right now, first-party data is their main area of concern. Now, I would argue, and I've said this before, so I'm sorry for sounding like a broken record, but I would argue the other 40%, they need to do that too. They just actually haven't woken up and smelled the coffee yet, because this is the change that's happening. There is no choice. People need to change. Marketers need to change their focus from this third party to first party data. And that's where we're going to make our money.
And this ultimately has come about because Google, Facebook, et cetera, have a pretty much a monopoly on this now, and they're basically going to be increasing their charges to get the same results, I presume, because now that they don't have to tell the advertisers what's going on.
There's pretty much a perfect storm. There's a whole host of things happening at the same time. And it started with legislation. GDPR was the first biggest set of legislation which came in 2018, but now the Americans are following. So California followed first with CCPA, but now it looks like there's going to be a federal law to standardize that, very, very similar to GDPR. That is the template that everyone's following. In APAC, we're seeing the same. Even in China, we're seeing data protection laws here to protect privacy. So with that shift, firstly, becomes an increased consumer awareness on the way data is being used. And if you talk to CMOs in the UK and EMEA, a lot of them feel a bit like they're playing Russian roulette now, because if you look at what happened in the past with Cambridge Analytica, there was a very big scandal about the way they used Facebook data. And everyone's scared that they could be the next one, that their brand could be the one who gets exposed for using this third party in a way that consumers don't think is right. So they're concerned about that. But the other thing which is happening, and call me a cynic when I say the big technology companies say that they're doing this in response to concerns about privacy, because the reason I say call me a cynic, it also helps them too. But what they have started doing is making it harder for advertisers to access the data which they're using to target their consumers. So Facebook, the Google Ad Network, as well as Google Search, Microsoft, anyone now where you are coming across and targeting data. And by the way, those names I've just listed, if you add in Apple as well, you get to roughly 70% of the entire market. They're all putting privacy technology in place. But the impact of that for your advertiser is you only really get to see the reporting that those platforms are prepared to show you in the form of charts and diagrams and analysis. So they're marking their own homework in the way that the advertising performs. And really what they're doing is maximizing their own revenue as opposed to optimizing the advertising campaign. I mean, you would, wouldn't you? If you're in a situation where you can sit there and say, well, I could make this really, really effective by identifying a really small target market so that your advertiser has to spend less, or I've got the option of making it perform, you know, in a reasonable way, but they'll spend more. Well, then if you are that type of business, you're clearly incentivized to do the latter rather than the former. So that's the challenge that you're facing as an advertiser, sucking that data out, which before was straightforward and really informative and helped you tailor your products, is now much harder. But that's got worse now because of AI. You know, what if you've used ChatGPT, what you know is it's really, really good at stuff until you try and do something that's very specific, at which point it gives you a starting point. But actually, you need to use your own expertise to tailor it and tweak it. It doesn't get it quite right. And the reason for that is it's a generalist. It's got general data. If you've got a really specific use case, like selling fashion trainers to teenagers, you need exactly the right data for that AI to work. And if you haven't collected the data yourselves, and for a long time, advertisers haven't done it because they haven't needed to, well, then the only place you can go to are places like Facebook and Google and Microsoft and Apple. What that means then is not only do Apple and all those guys know more about your consumers than you do, but now they're beginning to control the conversation you have with them because they're feeding the AI applications that you're trying to do as well. So another reason, if you're a CMO, a chief marketing officer, what you really need to be doing now is collecting as much of that deep data yourself so that you're not so exposed.
Indeed. Intriguing things. And the beauty is, I suppose, that you're in a situation where obviously they're going to need your help and you're going to be able to monetize this now with the Three Radicals help in terms of all the different things that are required.
Yeah, I mean, Three Radicals is the start, which is collecting that first party data. You know, we're on this acquisition trail. We have businesses which will supplement that technology and increase the level of services that we're doing, looking at data analytics and all of those sorts of things as well. You know, we talked in our prospectus about the fact that we are moving towards AI product and productivity that we can deploy into Three Radical. And that's because Three Radical themselves have collected a really huge data set, over a billion interactions of people which have come through their technology already over the last 8 years or so. And that's exactly the type of data that advertisers need to understand how people engage. So we're in the process, actually, of analyzing that data so we can start to build machine learning based products which help them do that. And that's all of that, the things I've described, first party data expertise, that machine learning analytics, that type of data, all of those things are in short supply in the advertising market at the moment. So that's our opportunity, is, you know, short supply, land grab, focus on sales and marketing, and put the right technology together.
Yeah, so we can see some progress over the coming weeks and months as you move forward. Are we expecting to speak to you fairly often over the next couple of months?
Yes, there's a whole series of things happening over the next few months, which I'm really excited about. Can't tell you about them now, but yes, we're expecting a series of announcements which we'll be making as we move along this path.
Okay, great. I can see you're putting things together, so good luck, and let's hope we can move this story forward. And I don't know that you're going to be able to do away with the dominance of these people, but let's hope in time people invest so that we're not just going to be at the behest of these tech giants.
Well, look, it's an $800 billion market. I would be perfectly happy with a small sliver of that market. We don't even need to scratch the surface to build a very big, profitable business.
Yeah, 1% is $8 billion, so that'll do.
Yeah, that'll be great. Yeah.
Isn't the phrase is AI won't replace humans, but humans with AI will replace them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely.
Never a true word, but we'll say on that note, John Regan, CEO of Electric Guitar, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Phil. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, John.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.